But joining us now, and this is the Taylor Report, CIT, in 9.5 FM, Jean Sandville. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Beth?
Very good, and we're glad to be talking to you. You also can bring us some news. I understand that there are demonstrations taking place, or perhaps an occupation, something at the, is it at the campaign office of Justin Trudeau in Quebec, or in Montreal?
Yes.
Or what is this?
Yes.
What's going on?
I guess the Papineau riding is where this morning there was an occupation of the office where they launched the campaign of Prime Minister Trudeau. And it's a number of activists who wanted to raise awareness to the fact that there is an occupation of Haiti that has been in place for several years now, whereby foreign countries, including Canada, participated in the overthrow of the legitimate government that was established by Haitians themselves. And they proceeded to replace 7,000 elected officials that they removed from office with unelected individuals, many of them convicted criminals.
Criminal yes, records?
Yes, people with criminal records. And you have a total dysfunction of the Haitian state that has happened in the last 15 years, to the point where last week you had, on the same day, the incident involving so-called senators who pulled their weapons. One of them, named Ralph Fetier, injured a journalist who works, a photojournalist who works sometimes for Reuters in Haiti, and two other people who were in the vicinity. Now, of course, someone hearing, and this made the news around the world, that, you know, Haitian senator pulls his gun and shoots people. But what they are not telling you is that this man named Ralph Fetier is someone who's well known as a drug dealer. And they knew that he was a thug all these years. However, you are in a situation right now where the Haitian state has become a narco state. That was the plan of the coup. That is to turn over the Haitian state to individuals who are vulnerable to blackmail. And so by doing so, you end up with a very weak state that cannot negotiate with international, multinational companies, such as the mining companies. We have a situation right now in Haiti where they're putting in front of that so-called Senate I just told you about, which has a lot of drug dealers in it, a law that, if it passes, would mean that now Canadian mining companies that are in Haiti would not need to have an authorization of the Senate before they start digging for gold. And that's important for us to highlight, because a lot of people, when they hear the narrative about Haiti in the mainstream media, it's all about the poverty. And so, like many countries in Africa and in the Americas, or Latin America in particular, the country has lots of mineral resources, but of course the population is impoverished. And that's exactly the bigger story that these activists were trying to highlight this morning, to say that, you know, Prime Minister Trudeau needs to indicate that Canada is going to adopt a foreign policy that is genuine. In particular, there were statements during that activism action saying that, you know, having a blackface puppet government in Haiti is much more serious than those black and white pictures of Justin Trudeau from several years ago.
Yeah, unfortunately, that, you know, they have every reason to raise this, because, as he said, he's not, he's ashamed, and he's knows that what he was doing was racist, but his policy toward Haiti might be a better test.
No, absolutely. And gotta be careful that, you know, these issues of racism in international politics don't get trivialized when, you know, the only time people talk about it is when some kind of overt action or situation occurs, when in reality we have a more serious problem in the way imperialist
yes.
forces are making the lives of black people, indigenous people, brown people, hell on earth. You know, what is very important is for Canadians to take seriously what our deceased brother used to say. You know, we need to be citizens of our own country.
Yes.
And so by exercising our duty here to make sure that those issues are raised at the level of seriousness that they deserve, at least Canadians can hold their elected officials accountable.
Yeah, and how about the issue? I mean, Canada needs to struggle with its own problem of hypocrisy. We have a lot of attention being paid to a situation of Britain's former colony, which was under direct British rule for 150 years. And every story has to begin pro-democracy demonstrators. Well, people of Haiti are pro-democracy, aren't they? I'm asking for an objective.
No, absolutely. I mean, the struggle on that island, you know, is as old as 1492 when the first Europeans arrived, making life hell on earth for the Taino people. And then when the Africans came, they fought against the British, the Spanish, and the French to liberate that island. And technically, you can say that Haiti is the first democracy in the Americas, because you cannot count the United States as a democracy.
No, because they still had slaves.
Yeah, enslavement. And that doesn't count. So, of course, any objective analysis would point to the fact that, yes, you have a struggle for democracy in Haiti that is, you know, decades and centuries old. And unfortunately, that population has never been able to count on solidarity, except for rare occasions, such as when President Fidel Castro, you know, sent Cuban doctors to help in Haiti, or when Hugo Chavez went to launch the Petrocaribe program in Haiti.
Oh, and I have to ask you, if you don't mind, I'd like to really focus on that for just one moment. My memory, and I think we were speaking to you, and this is Jean Saint-Ville, that was to work a great benefit for the people of the Caribbean, and particularly Haiti, and the demonstrations recent, in say 6-8 months ago, were about gas prices and the question of what had happened to the funds of that that corporation. So, are gas prices a part of this demonstration now, or is
absolutely.
This only a remove the president demonstration? What is this?
Absolutely, and it's very tragic because, you know, in Haiti, when you raise the price of gasoline, you've raised the prices of everything.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
They've raised the price of gasoline last year, and it created riots. But what people need to understand is that this is directly linked to international corruption. Because what happened is that when Hugo Chavez and the president of Haiti at the time, René Préval, signed this accord called the Petrocaribe Funds, which other countries in the Caribbean also benefited from, it permitted Haiti to buy gas at a reduced price, and they pay upfront 40%, and then there's 60% that they can pay over a period of 25 months at 1% interest, which is a very good deal because the money now that's saved can be invested in development. including in national production of food, which Haiti can use to repay Venezuela by selling it, you know, mangoes, all kinds of bananas, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a very good deal. And there are other countries in the Caribbean, like Dominican Republic, Belize, that I visited not too long ago, Jamaica, who took great advantage of that situation to build their infrastructure in sports, mm-hmm. hospitals, electric grid, etc. Now, in the case of Haiti, when this deal was signed, was of course 2 years before the earthquake, but after 2011, we ended up having fake governments, one of them led by Michel Martelly, who was handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. They rigged the United States and rigged the elections in Haiti, imposed this guy. And, of course, since 2011, there's been a lot of embezzlement of those Petro-Caribe funds. So now there were a number of reports, one of them, two of them from the Senate, and an independent organization that's set up to fight corruption in Haiti. All of them prove that those governments stole in the neighborhood of $4.2 billion. I mean, there are different ways of counting it. I mean, of course...
Wow, an impoverished country, and you steal $4 billion?
Yeah. So $4 billion that Haiti now owes Venezuela. And when you look for what was done with that money, it's, you know, really, really distressful. Because, you know, I've been to Haiti... you know, regularly, and I can tell you, we don't have $4 billion invested in the country in the last few years. However, some people have become very rich, mm-hmm. and not all of them are Haitian. Now, the problem is mm-hmm. the population is trying to bring these guys to justice. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they're all well-connected, and so this is the current struggle. So the people of Haiti are trying to conduct this investigation and to have the trial, the Petro-Caribe trials, and they've demanded the resignation of the puppet president, Jovenel Moïse, who for the last few days have been in hiding. Nobody knows where he is. And meetings are taking place now with the ambassadors of the United States and European countries, Canada, and they're trying to negotiate to keep this guy in power. Meanwhile, the population is saying, listen, I mean, we cannot survive this kind of government any longer. First of all, we never elected them. You imposed them on us.
Yes.
You stole all of our resources. We want to judge them. And you're still, you know, trying to protect them. So,
yes. And by the way, Mr. Aristide remains in the country the only one of any of these people who's been popularly elected. And they won't even let him run for office.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, you have those same countries that that call themselves in Haiti the core group. You will find them again in another group calling themselves the Lima group. And now they're trying to overthrow a legitimate government in Venezuela to impose a puppet.
Yes.
So the two situations really highlight the hypocrisy.
So their position is you can't remove... our puppet, because we're trying to put in a new puppet nearby. So
that's right.
We need
that's
this puppet. You mustn't do that.
And that's why we always remind our brothers and sisters from Venezuela to take a look at Haiti today. Because mm-hmm. when they invaded Haiti in 2004 and removed our legitimate president, their rhetoric was that they're going to make Haiti better. Their rhetoric at the time was that they're going to build Haiti back better. And
that was before the cholera.
Before the cholera, because the cholera was
brought that.
In by the foreign soldiers, and they never paid any reparations to the 1 million Haitians they contaminated with cholera, among whom 30,000 got killed.
And they were going to build houses. Where are all the houses they were going to build?
you know, they collected all kinds of money. So now Bill Clinton and the former so-called prime minister of Haiti they claimed that they had collected $10 billion. And I can tell you that there is no trace of that $10 billion. And Clinton still has not said where the money went. Yet everybody saw them walking around claiming how they're going to help Haiti recover after the earthquake and everything. Mm-hmm. So what's very important here for people to understand is that Haitians are not asking for Canada to intervene. Canada has already intervened and has done too much damage.
What yes, sufficient, thank you. Yes.
They need to get the hell out and mm-hmm. stay out. We're really talking about doing no more harm, not about helping. It's like Haiti has been helped to death. It's, mm-hmm. it's the kind of help the people cannot afford anymore. And, yeah. and so, you know, the important thing is for them to stay away and let the people of Haiti manage their own affairs, elect their own leaders. You know, like look what they have in the United States. If we can let the Americans have their own elections and make that kind of decision, well, let the Haitians uh-huh. make their own decisions too.
Yes, I don't think you could put it more eloquently. It's Jean Sainville. Tell us, this has been going on a while. It sounds like it reached another sort of point. Do you expect these demonstrations are in a beginning stage, or what's your estimate?
No, something has to happen this week.
This time something's going to happen.
Yeah, something's going to happen. It's likely that many of the thieves who are in that puppet government are going to flee the country already.
He may have gone. Who knows?
Well, Jovenel Moïse, who's in hiding inside of Haiti, nobody knows where he is, his wife went to the United States. He was supposed to be going to the United Nations, and then he canceled his trip. But his wife is in the States, and there are members of his wife's group, or like security group, that went into hiding in the States. They're not going back to Haiti. So it's a government that.
So this is an exceptional crisis. It probably will lead to some dramatic change.
Yes. It will lead to dramatic change. However, what the Haitians fear right now is that we are seeking a real transformation. Mm-hmm. And we don't want the oligarchs in Haiti to have the opportunity to just choose another puppet
yes.
along with the embassies in Haiti. We want a real change where it's Haitians who choose their own leaders.
Good. I have a suggestion for a slogan. Remove the puppeteers and the puppet.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish here, because there are about 11 families that control the Haitian economy. And what's particular about those 11 families is that they have no direct connection with the population. When I speak of their origin. These are ultra-nationals who some of them are foreign representatives of foreign embassies, the consulates of other countries. And so they don't have any connection directly with the population, but they control the import of goods in Haiti. And this is how Haiti has a system of social and economic apartheid that has been set in place and reinforced since the U.S. occupation in 1915, where they created this intermediary class that basically governed the island as a sort of neocolonial enclave for the multinationals. So, for instance, you have sweatshops in Haiti that are subsidiaries of Canadian wet sweatshops. So, for instance, in Haiti, there's Gildan Activewear.
I'm sorry, Jean. I'm going to have to break here because of the hour.
Yes.
But Thank you very much, and we're going to call you soon because it is going to change dramatically, and we really we really appreciate your telling us about it. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, doc. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. Braden, thank you. We'll see you next week.